It's so easy to feel lost in the world today. But it doesn't have to be this way. You can break through the noise of what everyone is telling you to do and lay your foundation for a life of success, purpose, and joy. I'm Caleb Price. As a fellow young adult and certified life coach, I'm sharing exactly how to do this, how to navigate the struggles of adulthood, and how to find yourself. Join me and become the modern young adult you've always wanted to be. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Modern Young Adult. I'm your host, Caleb Price, and I am here in my new apartment. So maybe it'll sound different. Who knows? I got a window in front of me in my new office, and I love my new place. This is so... Also, fair warning, everything is new, meaning like I might not be able to find things. And so this episode might feel a little bit rambled because I've been kind of busy, kind of overwhelmed with everything going on. But I have to say, I absolutely love where I'm at. I love my new place. It was kind of a gamble, so to speak, in terms of it's, you know, a bigger decision where you're going to live. Your brain puts a lot of emphasis or stress on like, this is going to matter, because it does matter. Yeah. Every, you know, decision you make does to some degree matter, but, we can get so concerned and obsessed with, I think, like that this decision has to be it. This has to be perfect. And I remember, you know, really debating about like, should I do this? Should I not? Because there's some things that I loved about it. But at the same time, you have to move. It's a gamble to change anything. And as human beings, we like to stay the same overall. We do like look and crave for change and variety, but this is like a big one. And so your brain's like, I don't know about this. It's putting a lot of, you know, putting a lot out there. And I'm so glad I went all in on it. And it just really goes to show you though, at the end of the day, that, you know, the little thing that I'll leave you with right at the very beginning is this idea that, you know, your decisions aren't the thing that, you know, make you enjoy your life. It's you. It's you who makes you love your decision. It's not, you know, the thing itself. Of course, there are factors and whatnot, but at the end of the day, you're the only one who makes it something that you love. You make it worthwhile. You make it valuable. You are the one who decides, is this a good experience or not? You're the one who makes the most of your experience. So if you're struggling with something, or if you're not sure about a decision, or you're just like stuck and you feel like, can I go all in on this thing? My answer to you is, well, believe in yourself, because either way, it's going to be you who makes it a decision you love, not the decision itself that, you know, is to be loved, so to speak. It's you and your attitude and how you go about thinking about it. And that's hopefully what I'm going to be doing right now. I really love it. It's not perfect, you know. Not perfect by any means, but, you know, I got to say, I really feel good about my decision only because I'm choosing, like, because I'm choosing to think that is the way I'm feeling. So remember, you get to create that. But that's not really what we're talking about today at all. I'm trying this new thing of just like, you know, I want to give you something tangible or whatnot, or what's on my mind. I don't really know how to start any of these things with podcasts. I've been doing this for 160 episodes or so, and still don't know what I'm doing. That's okay. I'm happy that you're here for the ride, though. This week, though, I've been really wanting to... the best way I can describe this is I watched Dune 2, and I've been trying to figure out how do I convey what I got from this in a way that is going to be tangible and useful for you, and what's really the concept behind it that I want to share from you. And that really got me thinking, not just because of the movie, but really about what I've begun to observe in myself recently, as well as in other people throughout, I guess, this new renaissance, so to speak, in discovering, you know, emotional intelligence and life coaching and all this stuff, is this idea that there is confusion around the concept of humility versus self-doubt. That there's this idea that, you know, oftentimes we confuse them to be the same thing, when in fact I feel like there is quite a big difference between these two concepts, and also how they relate then, therefore, to our own pride and confidence. What is that spectrum and how can we distinguish that? I like to think of it like, you know, just think of it like kind of like a political spectrum, where there's like two opposites or whatnot. This is just the metaphor that came to mind. It's, you know, not related really at all, but like how there's your two in, you know, the American political system, you have your two basic parties where you have, you know, liberals versus Republican, like, or Democrat, you know, this idea of conservative versus liberal, I'll take. And you can go to either side of those things. This would probably be, you know, kind of like this idea of confidence versus humility, I would say. But on the other sides of those is these extremes, these polarized extremes that we as human beings tend to go to, like fascism on the side of conservatism or communism on the side of liberalism. But at the same time, we confuse them often in our world as the same thing. As our world only gets to be more polarized, we often confuse pride and confidence that they must be the same, and self-doubt and humility, they must be the same. Or, you know, like if we feel confident, we're being prideful, or if we're being self-doubting of ourselves, we're actually being humble. And I don't think those things are true. So we're going to get into today kind of what my difference, my distinction between these things, and as well as even in that metaphor, I don't love it, because to me, one can be confident and humble at the same time. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. So if you feel like, you know, you want more confidence, you want to learn more about humility, or more importantly, you just want to feel good about yourself in this life, you want to feel the sense of self-confidence, this is the episode that is going to help you figure this out. And of course, if you want to hear my review of Dune 2, let's get into it. So where am I going to begin? I'm beginning with this idea of what's the difference between humility and self-doubt. That's really what this episode is about, but it involves touching on pride and confidence as well. The difference that I see is about where the focus is. What is the focus of the emotion, so to speak, or where your thoughts that are creating this sense, this feeling of humility or self-doubt? Where is the focus? Is it on the fact that you might be less than, so to speak, unqualified or not as good in an area of your life? Or is it the fact that you're focused on that you must therefore be less than because of that? You must therefore not be enough. And there's a difference here. Are we focused on the thing itself, or are we focused on ourselves in, you know, regard to the thing? So take something, for example, like school. You know, we can be humble in knowing that we don't know everything. Whatever you're studying right now, the more that you learn, the more you recognize you don't know anything. That's just the way life works. You don't know anything. And in fact, human beings in general, as a society, we don't know much at all, really. We think we do, but we don't. And so we have that back and forth. But do you make the fact that you don't know much mean that you must therefore not be good enough, or that you should know more, that you should be better in an area of your life? Take, for example, something like dating. We can be humble in recognizing that, hey, we might need to work on some things. I myself right now can recognize that, hey, I could be a little bit more humble in recognizing that I don't know stuff, and maybe I could learn a thing or two in, you know, like, in how to communicate better with people. Or like, instead of thinking like I know everything, that's going to the pride thing. And so we'll talk about that. But it's not about I shouldn't even try then. It's not about therefore I must not be good at this thing, I should just give up. That is where we begin to dive into the area of self-doubt. And in a weird way, just like in a weird way, like the political spectrum, going back to that, communism and fascism kind of is actually kind of a loop. They kind of intermingle with each other, or at least we see certain aspects of it come into play where they look similar. They're not the same, of course, but they have similarities. We begin to see that actually our self-doubt becomes a lot more similar to our pride, in that we maybe even have a little bit of pride in how much we self-doubt ourselves, and how much we actually have a little, instead of it being vanity and lifting ourselves up above others, it's in terms of degrading ourselves to be below other people. Now, the distinction that I want to make with all of this when it comes to humility and self-doubt, there's nothing wrong with joking. There's nothing wrong with alleviating a situation by being the butt of a joke, or, you know, making other people feel better. But what I'm getting at today is that we have internalized this idea of making ourselves lower making ourselves less than as noble and saying sometimes that this is how we make ourselves humble, when I don't think that's the case. I think you can be confident in your humility without it degrading your self-esteem, and in terms of that confidence, without it being something about being better than other people. Okay? So, and I think what I really want to get at now in terms of going through this review is this idea that sometimes when we go to self-doubt, the reason we typically like to go to self-doubt is that we have been trained in our society, especially if you've grown up in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you've been trained to avoid being prideful. You've been trained that pride is something to be like resented and avoided at all cost. And anything that you avoid obsessively, you will become. This is the message that I get from Dune Part 2, is that anything that you are avoiding at all costs, basically, or like anything that you resent, you will become if you go to great lengths to, you know, to work on that. And so this is what I mean. Paul Atreides is cast out from his, you know, like from the ending of the first movie, he's cast out in the middle of nowhere with the Fremen, and he's like, okay, I'm going to make my own way, like create my own, like, you know, place in this society. Like, it's kind of getting set up that he's this sort of messiah figure in this religion, but he's not going to play to that. He's just going to be like a part of the people and gets close to Chani, starts having like love there, starts finding a place there, starts finding a home. Meanwhile, like the Harkonnens are kind of taking over, and in him is still this idea that he wants revenge, this idea that he wants to like, in a sense, like get back at the people. And that's being seeded by his mom, who's like under the influence. And there's a lot of other factors going on. Obviously, this isn't like a one-to-one metaphor, but ultimately he hates the Harkonnens. He hates this idea of what they've become, what they've done to his family. And he wants to protect what he now loves in terms of the Fremen and his newfound family. And the only path that he can see at a certain point, it comes down to this junction that the only path he can see to protect what he loves is effectively, though, to take, like, to seize power, to take away, like, the Harkonnen's reign on the planet. And in order to do that, he had to effectively become Harkonnen. He had to effectively become, like, evil to some degree. He had to become this dictator of some sort and lean into this messiah figure in order to get the very thing you want, the security. And the thing is, going after that pride, that seizure of power, it never ends. And so when he does effectively, like at the very end, like seize power, you know, overthrows the emperor in a certain way, and the rest of the empire doesn't recognize that and sees it as like a violation of authority, he's like, okay, well, now everybody has to agree, and so we're going to make them all agree just so I can have the thing that I want. And so he becomes the very thing that he hated. It's seen with kind of the emperor, in that like the emperor says, your father was a weak man, and that he was more focused on like creating something like worthwhile, and like wasn't, you know, willing to go after power and ambition like the other characters in the movie. And also in a way, kind of a dig against Paul and saying that this is the thing that you've become. You are not your father anymore because you aren't weak in this area. And yet at the same time, we feel that something has gone wrong, that clearly he has lost his vision of who he is. And of course, this is that world. This isn't our world, but there's a message here. There is a message here that anything typically that we avoid, like obsessively, that we don't want to be because we think it is bad and evil or wrong, or rather like, or anything that we resent to a certain degree, like we might become in some sort of way. In a weird way, whatever you avoid, you might become. And the Greeks kind of go into this too when we see the Oedipus myths, like, and if you're avoiding prophecy or whatnot, like it eventually does happen in our avoidance of it. And it just goes to show the same thing happens with our brains. I've talked about this before, that instead of thinking, like, don't think about something, you should think about the things that you do want to think about. When you don't think about something or tell yourself don't think about it, that's all your brain can see. It's all your brain, you know, has. And so a lot of the times I find that when we say we should avoid pride, I don't want to be prideful, I don't want that, we put ourselves far lower than we need to. We make it about us and saying that, oh, I'm not good because I just don't want to be prideful. And so that's often the thought process that enters into our mind. Now, of course, this isn't perfect. I'm not saying that, you know, we shouldn't not want to be prideful. I think it's a very great thing that, you know, we as a society are like trying to like, you know, not vaunt ourselves, not be like creating class systems and what, that we're looking for equality. That's, I think, an amazing thing. But we don't have to sacrifice our self-worth in an effort to be humble, in an effort to just, and to not be prideful in a way. The way that I also describe it is that feeling humble is not something that is manic. It doesn't cause you to like shake and worry or question everything. Of course, there's no right way to feel, but I've noticed that those signs in myself. I know the difference between when I'm being humble, which is a very just deep sense of I don't know enough, or I am not enough in this area. But with help, with God on my side, with my ability to reason and just be a human being, I am willing to be here. Instead of self-doubt saying, I don't belong. I've felt this all the time when it comes to my job, and I'm feeling it even more now as we have a deadline coming up, is that it's really easy to think, I don't know enough, and therefore I'm not good, or I'm not okay, or I should be better. When that connection, that conjunction to the next thing does not have to be true. I don't know enough, and therefore I will learn more. And therefore, I will try. And maybe I will fail. And that is okay. Like, it's the same applies to dating. The same applies to you and your career. The same applies into your efforts to change your life, in your goals, whatever you are trying to do when it comes to like self-improvement. It all applies. You aren't good enough. Embrace that. But that does not mean that you are less than any other human being. It doesn't mean that you don't deserve it as much as just any other human being. And so that's when like you get complimented and praised for what you're good at. I think we can embrace that. We don't have to make ourselves lower than when we compliment, it's not an effort to raise you up better. It's just to help you recognize and see, oh, I am good. I think that's a great way to view it instead of this idea of like totem poling this and saying, well, who's getting the better, you know, thing, who's getting the compliment, comparing all these stuff, which we often do. Nothing wrong with any of this. Also, by the way, there's no shame in pride and self-doubt. When we are in these emotions, they are there for a reason. I'm just trying to help us get to an understanding that, like, of what humility and confidence can be. Embracing a compliment is not a sense of vanity. And also, taking criticism is not a sense of self-doubt. It is only when we make it mean, I am therefore better, or I am therefore worse in terms of my value, when your value is not something that can be changed. It's eternal. You are a human being here on this earth, and therefore you belong here. You belong and are allowed to do the things that you desire. It doesn't mean, though, you won't need to be humbled at times. It doesn't mean you also won't feel very confident. That definitely is going to happen. It also means you'll feel prideful. It also means you will feel self-doubt. That's all on the spectrum. It's all available and it's all there for your good. But what it means is that it is up to you to remind yourself of that worth when the rubber meets the road, when obstacles do come into the way. And so, if you find yourself self-doubting, doubting a lot, I encourage you to replace that with a sense of humility, to shift it to saying, I am not good at this, and that's okay. I can do better at this thing, but I am still good. It's not about increasing my worth. It's just about increasing my ability in this thing. When it comes to studying, for example, okay, I'm not good at physics or English or communication, whatever it is that we're struggling with. That's okay. I can do something to learn in this. I can go to resources and learn, and I can praise people for being good at something that currently I'm not necessarily good at. But that does not limit myself from being good, and it has nothing to do with my worth. It doesn't stop me. It doesn't mean I don't belong. All these things are extra, and they're things that our brain attaches because it's trying to protect us. Again, totally normal when our brain jumps to pride or jumps to self-doubt. It's all there for us. And that's why the last thing I'll leave you is that that's why I really believe confidence and humility can be simultaneous. We can have a confidence about our self-worth while also recognizing humbly we are not like enough on our own. We require the assistance of people because we are mortal. We require the assistance of belief of God, if you are someone who believes. And like, we require that 100% because we as human beings are weak. We can be confident in our weakness and recognizing I am human. Like, let me be human. Let me try. And also at the same time, confident in recognizing, yes, maybe I'm not weak in one area, but I am also strong in another. And therefore, I am like a complex individual. I'm not limited in my perspective on myself. I'm like, oh, this one thing I can't do, therefore I'm not good enough. Ignoring the 99 other things that we do pretty well or do fantastic. And again, not in the sense of comparing, but just about our own self-view of ourselves. And this is why self-image is so valuable, because it shows, it determines how you show up in the world, and it determines your experience in the world. Your confidence and humility can be simultaneous, I believe. You can be confident and humble at the same time. And when pride happens, or when you self-doubting happens, let it happen. Be in that moment. Don't blame yourself or shame yourself. It's only going to make you lower in those areas. There's no need to avoid these things. And we just embrace like, oh, I'm being human. Okay. It's just going back to that humility. We might need to be humble and recognizing that, hey, in this area of emotion, we might need some help. Of course, I'd love to help you. But at the same time, like, I know that the effort is going to come down to you and just how you treat yourself, how you talk to yourself. And so I'd invite you to really take value, take heart, evaluate where you might be self-doubting on the spectrum, and see how you might switch the dialogue up. Switch your internal dialogue so that it reflects a sense of humility instead. I know there's a difference, and I encourage you to seek that difference out. And of course, if you haven't seen Dune 2, please go watch it. It is fantastic. I am planning to go again. All right, my friends. I love you. Good luck out there, and I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you like what you heard today, please leave your review, share it with a friend, and don't forget to follow me on my Instagram at Caleb the College Coach for more content that'll inspire you. And if you want to apply the very tools that I talk about directly to your life with a personal touch, sign up for your free 30-minute coaching call with me. Remember, you are good, you are capable, and you can have the very life you want. Good luck out there in the real world.